The podcast on Haunted Hill will contain spoilers and swearing.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
He saw this light come. Be one of us.
I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
Hello and welcome to the podcast on Haunted Hill, patron episode number 5. I am your host for this part, Gav. You guys know this anyway. Dan will be popping up later, like he does, like a little pervert, popping up all over the place, over looking through windows like Ted Bundy, having a little wank. That's Dan. Anyway, I thought I would kind of just go through my first 15 movies of my 31 for October. And then the next patron, I'm going to go through my other 16 to round it up to the 31 days of Halloween. I've just been banging them out. I've been, doing the old, I'll just watch them, and hopefully if I have any issues, I'll come back. But I'm just counting the movies I watch through October, and, you know, they're going to be the 31s type thing. Anyway, we're starting off, number one. I watched Found Footage 3D. Now, that is a movie solely on Shudder. I watched it in 2D, so I watched it Found Footage 2D, really. And it's because we had Blair Witch come along, which was a thing. Everyone knows Blair Witch. It's a massive phenomenon. Then Paranormal Activity took that Found Footage thing and did it again. And that was made, the dude that did Found Footage, Paranormal Activity, did shot it for $15,000. And it made millions and millions. Wow. Yes, indeed. And a series and a franchise. It's just crazy, really. And there's, I think, another one coming out next year. Found Footage 3D. This is them again trying to go, okay, we can do this with the found footage genre. We can push it another way. Let's do it 3D. That's great if you have a 3D TV. I did speak about this in the last episode. It's, you know, and I'm sure in 3D, the found footage movie looks pretty cool. I don't know how to watch in 3D because I've got a TV. There is two versions of 3D, and I'm wondering if they're doing the whole glasses, you know, you got the different coloured glasses, red and green, is it red and blue? I can't remember. I'm wondering if it's like that, but that stuff, me and Dan tried to watch Friday the 13th Part 3 with those specs on, and it gave us headaches. So we didn't actually get through that movie, and I still have it on DVD, that version. Because once upon a time, in England, a channel called Channel 4 did like a whole weekend of 3D, and they gave out 3D glasses, and this was 10-15 years ago, and I managed to record them off the TV, and I'll put them onto DVD, and I've got also Flesh for Frankenstein in 3D, which is Andy Warhol's film. Anyway, getting back to it, the film is alright, it's not too bad. There's nothing new or groundbreaking. It's very meta in the fact that they're going, well, why have they held the camera? That's the problem with these movies. You've got to have it. So they're sort of going through that, and it's almost a bit cocky. And at the end of the day, it's okay. It's not that good. I don't think it warrants them and their cockiness that they're above found footage to make the found footage film. I don't think they're trying to apply that. But it just, you know, it just doesn't, I don't know, it's okay, it's alright, there's nothing new there though, really. It's, at one point, a woman screams, a load of plates and stuff fall down. Well, we've sort of seen that in Paranormal Activity, where just all the stuff opens up and things, it's one of those things. So, that's my number one. Number two, I counted it, because it's kind of horrific, and it's the American Murder documentary on Netflix, the, I don't know what it's called, the guy saying, Watts, Chris Watts, maybe? Killing his wife and his pregnant wife and two children just waking up one day and going, yep, I'm going to do that. It's really hard to understand how someone could do that. The mentality of them doing that is just a bit insane, really. It's like, how can you go ahead and do that sort of thing? You know, it's crazy, really, when the human mind goes that way. That's just a bit fucking insane, really. It's on Netflix. I'm sure you've watched it. Everyone kind of binges those things when they come out on Netflix. It's funny enough, it's almost very found footage like, because it's going through just the various footage, kind of like The Bay, how The Bay did that found footage movie, where it's kind of taking footage from news reports and police cameras and stuff like that. This is this, but this is real life. So I saw in a found footage group on Facebook someone saying, like, well, you know, I actually found some of the acting unbelievable. And it's like, but then they said, but trouble was, I know it's not acting. So that's quite a strange way to look at it like that. But I counted it because it's horrific, and anyone that does that is just a horrible person. I hope that he rots in hell and is raped on a daily basis. Number three, I did go for Host, the only hour long, which is, again, kind of found footage, but it was obviously knocked out in lockdown. And there's a lot of English actors in it, and it's set, like, on a Zoom call, so you got people in the States, people in England. I think it's just States in England. I don't think it's any other countries. And you can see it's very much in lockdown, because some of the stuff they're saying and things is very much lockdown mentality. Like, I'm going to break lockdown. Like, no, don't break lockdown. So, you know. We've kind of gone past that, but we might have another lockdown. I'm not even going to get into a COVID fucking conversation. But Host is okay. It's basically a group of people get together on a Zoom call, and they say, one of them's like, oh, you know, I've set up this Zoom call. We're going to do kind of like a seance type thing, but over the Zoom. And it's okay, actually. It's not a too bad film. It's only an hour long, so it doesn't, like, go on too long. It does make you think, why didn't you just do an hour and a half? I always wonder why these films, even like those fan films, it's like, well, why do an hour? Do an hour and a half. You know, just do that extra. I know half, another third of a film you've just made is going to be a massive thing, but it's like, if you've gone that effort to do an hour, just do an hour and a half. I don't know why Host is not that long. I don't understand, but still, it's enjoyable and you can knock it out quite quickly, really. It's not too bad film. It's only exclusively on Shudder, though. So found footage 3D and Host are both on Shudder, because I did, in fact, actually a couple of these are going to be just Shudder stuff. I went for a Shudder subscription again, but to be honest, the UK playlists and titles, you know, it's not gonna take long for me to go through the stuff I want to watch and go, cool, I don't need this anymore, and I'll drop it again. Unfortunately, Shudder, you know, if you're listening, please give the UK some more titles. Yeah, and I know about territories and all this stuff, but come on, fucking hell. Number four, Search of Darkness, again, Shudder. It's a 4.5 hour documentary on 80s films. Pretty good. It could have been 3 hours. Towards the end, it's scraping a barrel in the content of kind of, now we're going to talk about this sort of thing in 80s movies. So they start going over some of the same movies they've gone through, interviewing the same people, but they're talking about stuff. And towards the end, Sarah and I watched it in like two parts, because it gets to that point, you're like, do I need to, you know, it's not do I need to, it's kind of a bit like, I don't think I can. I can only do so much, and then it's like, fuck, I need a break. I can't do this for 2 days, it's just so long. But to be fair, the Friday 13th one's massively long, but then again, that's specifically in the series of films, which is also another good documentary. And you know, In Search of Darkness, pretty good movie. Yeah, movie, documentary, pretty good. It does give you it's really good documentaries. It's kind of that sort of thing where you can kind of talk over it a little bit, where movies you can't really so much. So Sarah and I, for this specifically, we can, because Sarah and I would talk to a couple about, oh, nice, you've seen that, so yeah, then we'd have a little bit of a dialogue about it, the movies. So it's quite fun in that sense, and we're both at each point like, oh, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. But like I say, I feel it outstays its welcome just a little bit, but that might just be me. Number four, I watched Nina of the Woods. This is a movie which is not even out yet anywhere. I watched this on the the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, because we had our short film Beyond premiering, world premiere there. So I had free tickets to it because I had to do like a Q&A as well with the other directors. Nina of the Woods. Not bad film. It's kind of really set in the woods where it's kind of like things happen, and then there's no real gore in this stuff, but it kept me entertained. It wasn't too bad. It's kind of low budget, but it's all right. It kept me entertained, but then towards the end I started getting bored of it again. It's just started like, you kind of had me, but now, and at the end I'm not actually no I, as it's so fresh, super fresh, I'm not saying more, but I don't know if it get picked up or not. I don't know, or it goes straight to Amazon Prime, or they release on YouTube. I have no idea. It's okay. It's very folk horror. A group of people go out basically to the woods to look for Bigfoot, but they find something else. That premise, what I've just said there, makes you go, "Oh, nice," and it doesn't completely. But I was fine going along with it. At no point did I go, "Oh dear, oh dear." I was fine. But it does get to that point where you're like, can you get on with what you're going to find? Or get to some point where it's like, okay, point, that's a point here, and then we're going to go into this thing. And I'm not saying you have to keep the film structure as it is, the third act, blah, 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 blah. But you just got to realise at one point when the audience is watching, they're going to be like, "Oh, come on, can you do what you're gonna do," you know. So I did watch that. It wasn't too bad. Number six, I watched Spiral again. So I do apologize. The next two titles, in fact, are Shudder. If you haven't got Shudder, it's, I guess, a little frustrating. Spiral, a kind of cult movie. It's kind of had a kind of Get Out feel to it a little bit, and it's because it's touching upon a gay relationship, interracial gay relationship with two men. And it does have shots of, has these cutback scenes to when it was in the 80s, and the black fella in it with a white fella, which isn't the main white fella, and something that happens and someone gets beaten up, and it's sort of, so you're going back to that whole thing. And when these two decide to just turn up, and they're actually with the white guy, he has his daughter with him, who's like teenager, 14, 15 maybe. And they go along, the three of them go to this new house out in the middle of nowhere, and it's very like, what's going on? And one night, the black dude, who's an aspiring writer, he looks up and sees, like, something going on in the window, and it's like, what the hell is that? And it looks like a sort of cult thing going on. There's loads of people with robes and stuff. It's, what the fuck's going on? And just then, just things just start to go bad for the black dude. And you do have, like, at one point he's outside when he first turns up and he waves to one of the neighbours, and the guy just looks at him and looks away. And straight away you're like, oh, that's like a racial thing going on. But also you got, like, the fact that they're a couple, which is absolutely fine in 2020, and it's actually fine in any time of life, really. But there's other stuff going on there. So you're like, is it a race thing? Is it a homophobe thing? What's going on? And it's a pretty decent film. And I'm going to recommend that movie, but I don't know how you see it unless you're on Shudder. I'm not sure. And it's called Spiral. Pretty decent film. Definitely recommend that one, actually. Number seven, I don't recommend. And that is Hell House 3. This is, again, exclusive on Shudder. And this is in the found footage realm again. I do like my found footage. I like filming in found footage. I was even today out filming some stuff for the found footage web series we're doing. Joseph is Missing. Boom. Plug. Hell House 3, Hell House, the first Hell House, is pretty decent if you've seen it, and you can catch it on Amazon Prime, and I'm sure it's probably been on some other places as well. That's a pretty decent movie. It's kind of some scary bits. Hell House 2, I don't even remember, to be honest with you. Then Hell House 3, it was serviceable, started up right, but then it got kind of fucking stupid. Then right at the end, should I spoil it? Right at the end, there's just this footage of just the afterlife with the camera sitting there and people, and it's like, what? How did you get the camera? What? How are we watching this footage then? Like, what? And it just becomes fucking stupid, to be honest. And it's a shame, because it started up okay. There's like a thing going on there, and there's like a little bit of a mystery. It's like, oh, what's going on? But it just turns stupid. So I'm to tell you the truth, I'm not recommending it. I'd probably say just watch Hell House again if you're... But then again, if you're a completist, Dan, he is one of those completist type people, you know, do it. Number eight. I watched a movie called Alive. Right, I'm now looking at my list again. What on earth was the movie Alive that I watched? I am going to have to jump on IMDb right now and see what on earth that is, because I don't know what it is. Alive. That's an interesting one. This is how professional I am. I didn't think I would have to... I didn't think I'd have to look up the movies. Now, it's not. It wasn't the 93 one, where it's the people in the old aeroplane eating each other. It wasn't that movie. Oh, of course. I know what this movie was. It's the one on Netflix. Alive, the zombie film. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. I do apologise. That's a pretty decent movie. It's not amazing, but it's fairly all right. And someone said, like, oh, it's rejuvenating the zombie genre. No, not really. It's a dude shut in his apartment and the zombie's outside. There's literally nothing rejuvenating. It's all like bringing it up for us again. Like, oh, let's bring up the zombie genre again. So please don't. Oh, like, it's boring as shit, to be honest with you. I'm really well over zombie film genre. But yeah, Alive's all right though. It's not too bad. It's a contained film. It's pretty much a dude in his apartment. There's another girl in an apartment over the way from him, and he kind of communicates with her. And it's kind of fun in that sense. It's kind of got that tight apartment block type thing. And he has to stay quiet and eat whatever food he's got. And the news reports he's trying to do that. And it's all right. It's not too bad. It's subtitled. Man, that doesn't really bother me, but it was all right, I guess. Jumping into number nine, I watched Paranormal Activity 5. Been going through the series with my eldest non-gender child, Jay. Paranormal Activity 5, The Ghost Dimension. I asked them what they thought of it at the end, and they're like, didn't we watch most of it because I was too scared. So that's not a bad thing. Jay was generally quite scared of this one, but the others not so much, which was like, oh, that's really interesting. It's very interesting me watching films with them because they're a 13-year-old. And I'm saying, oh, what do you reckon, blah, blah. And Jay's funny enough doing film studies, so we can have like a good conversation about films, and we like to watch stuff together, and I'm slowly introducing him to all the movies. But we've been doing the whole Paranormal Activity series, so we've got like one more next time, the Marked Ones, part 6, which I quite like. Paranormal Activity 5, The Ghost Dimension, it's got a dude with a really good curly hair and moustache look to going on, which are quite funny. But this is one where they find the old camcorder and they pick it up and you look for it and you can see the ghost. Don't know why, but you can. I'm sure they probably explain it, and I'm sure I've probably forgotten it. That's not a bad movie. It's Paranormal Activity 5. It's been out for a while. There's not much more to say about that. Number 10. Do you know what? I was at a car boot sale, a charity shop, and I found a DVD, Urban Legend 2. I thought, screw it, I'm going to do that. I don't really remember Urban Legend 1 that much, but this one, I kind of remembered it a bit, and it's set like at a school where there are film students making horror movies. So it's kind of like Scream 3. It's kind of like, I guess, really, Scream 3's crack addicted child, or budget child. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm trying to say with that. It's kind of definitely not on par with the Scream films, but it kind of came from that whole Scream era. You know the thing, the group of teenagers, the slasher killer, some of the stuff a bit meta, they know what they're doing, especially this. It's they're filming horror movies, so they talk about horror films in particular stuff, and I kind of like that a little bit. Towards the end, started chiming out a little bit, but I kind of like the beginning and the setup and stuff, and I do like the fact that they're shooting horror movies in it, so they talk about film stuff, because I'm a bit of a film nerd and I like cameras and I like all that stuff, so for me that kind of works right. So if you haven't seen it and you fancy it, it's all right. I don't have any idea where you can watch this. Like I say, I found a DVD and I'm going to keep it in my collection, I decided. Number 11, getting down through the 15 fairly quickly here. Number 11, I went with Hubie Halloween. This is the Adam Sandler Netflix one. Now, Adam Sandler and Netflix are definitely having sex with each other. They are... He is must have done such a fucking deal with them. But they never release their numbers, Netflix. It's one of those things they don't do. They don't tell you. But they keep producing Adam Sandler movies. So if you keep watching them, we'll keep making them. That must be what they're going for. And the general public do. And Adam Sandler, you know... Adam Sandler, he's been around since the early 90s, well, he's been around before that, but the early 90s really kicking off his own film, and it started the whole Madison film production company does and all that sort of stuff. Happy Madison. And of like Happy Gilmore and all that stuff. And it's Adam Sandler, that's what you expect. But for me, everyone's dissing this movie. And it's so funny because I'm always that one that's dissing movies myself, which everyone loves. So it's great to be unique. It's great to be your own person, and just like what you like. And I liked this film. I didn't expect it to be amazing, but I liked it enough that it's really innocent, really. It's not... Adam Sandler's doing his thing, and it's and doing like that sort of talk, and people are just like, oh, I can't stand Adam Sandler's voice, or blah blah blah. It's like, it's Adam Sandler, you know. If you can't stand his voice, don't watch the film. Like, simple as that, really. If you don't like Adam Sandler movies, just don't watch the movie. I kind of liked it. I liked the movie he did with Jennifer Aniston, the murder mystery one. I kind of liked that as well. Don't know what to tell you. If I can do an emoji now, it's my hands both going I like the film. I didn't mind it, you know. It's got everything in it. It's got fog and spooky stuff, and just Steve Buscemi as a werewolf, kind of, and there's like a serial killer type thing going wandering around. Released on Halloween from Mental Institute. I think I know that idea from something else. I didn't mind this film. You know, I'm sorry, guys, and if you've watched it and like, I fucking hate that movie, that's fine. No worries. I get that as well. I understand where you're coming from. I kind of liked it, and do you know what? I might even watch it again this month. I don't be shocked, but it's because it's Halloween, the month of Halloween, and I feel like I could kind of put this on in the background. Or even just put it on. Sarah, my beloved partner, she was like, fuck that shit, I'm not doing that. She's just too hardcore gnarly for something like that, you know. Me, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll do that. I'd quite happily do that. I'd probably put it on tonight again, watch it again. I didn't mind it. The story, the thing is, it's quite funny though. It's not really a proper structured story. It doesn't seem to work really in that sense. Don't know why, but I like the film. Shh, don't tell everybody. But I also know another person that liked the film, my co-host. He might even mention it. I don't know what he's going to talk about this time. But I watched it as well. I liked it. He watched it as well. Sorry, he liked it. We both liked it. But then again, we are best buds, and that seems to happen. We say that, but then again, he watched The Shed, and I couldn't do that. Don't watch The Shed, but just don't tell him. Number 12. I watched a movie called Break. This is a Russian film. One IMDb review said, don't watch Break, just watch Adam Green's Frozen instead. Essentially, this is a group of four youngsters who are on a big, not a ski lift as such, but a big, like, what are they called? One just sitting, it's all enclosed with windows and stuff. Fuck knows. It's not a ski lift, it's a lift, but it's a big thing, carriage, whatever. And it's the end of the night, and they pay someone to get on. It's a bit like, hang on, this is Adam Green did this. But yeah, and they get stuck, and it wasn't too bad. Like, the carriage they're on has a massive poster on it, and it's the Overlook carriage or whatever it's called. And I was like, oh, a little nod to the old Shining there, fair enough. It's looks good, sounds okay, the music's all right and stuff. It's done really well. It's like, had a budget. The story's kind of just okay to serviceable. It's like, well, you can almost like, you could have done better, to be honest. You could have really pushed this a bit better. If you're putting all the effort into this, is what bugs me with films and stuff, really. It comes down every time, whatever department it is, whatever camera you're using, whatever. It comes down to the story. It comes down to what's been written, come out of someone's mind, and they've put the pen to paper and they've made a script. It's that story which makes you go, fuck yeah. The trouble is with these things, and this is why we're kind of slowly, because of the whole cinema things are shutting down and COVID and stuff, you're potentially going to get a lot more sort of independent filmmakers coming out. And when that happens, you're not having the producer's fingerprints all over films. Other people coming in saying, why don't we have this? And it's like, because that's a shit idea. But nobody says it because these are the people that give you the money. If we can get away from that stuff, that's pretty good. And this is what comes of this movie. You've put all the effort in to make this film, and it would have been an independent, but there was a bit of money there because it looks quite clean, you know. If you put all that effort into make this film, like, have that story tight as shit if you're going to do it. Like, don't fuck around. Like, what's the point? What is the point of... Because making a movie takes... It could take a year to 3 years, and then you got promotion and all that stuff, or whatever you could do. Then you got to sell the film. It's a lot of fucking work, and it can break people. Ooh, that's the name of the film. And it was all right. I put it on, but again, I'm starting to go towards the end, like, not really that hugely interested. And in the end, they got the shuttle... Got a shuttle now working again, and they kind of went in I won't spoil it. They kind of didn't get in, they got a bit of it in. Ooh. I don't know where you would find this movie, but it's called Break. It's only a few years old. I don't know the year. I should have really looked and did a bit more research. That's number 12. Number 13, we're going to Corin Hardy's second feature film after The Hollow, and that is The Nun. That is the Warnerverse film, and it was quite nice. Corin's a visual person. He comes from the background of music video making. I've chatted to him before, Fright Fest stuff, and he's a really nice guy. He's got a definite look, like he makes lots of make his own little models himself and stuff. It's kind of cool. This film has his look all over. He got the very hammery feel, like a lot of grave-filled, foggy scenes of crosses and silhouettes and all that sort of stuff. Looks real nice. Come down to the story, it's alright. It's okay. It's alright, there's a couple of set pieces which are alright. To be honest, again, towards the end, I timed out a little bit. It was alright though, it's okay. It's kind of... It would sit really well in a modern-day Hammer horror film, and the Hammer horror, the production company, are still making stuff. They are still kind of doing things. Occasionally, you see the Hammer horror logo come up, you're like, oh, really? And they started doing that with Let the Right One In and a few things. This would sit well like that, but this is obviously a Universal film, and it comes from The Conjuring and all that shit. It's all right. If you're a completist and you got to watch all the stuff that James Wan has his little fingers on, then go for it. I'm not saying that because he's a small fella as well, and I don't even know if he's a small fella. And I don't know if he's got like little Jeremy Beadle fingers or anything. I have no idea. But like his fingerprints are kind of over these things. I presume he oversees it, obviously, you know, because his name's quite attached to it and stuff. And he's kind of created a thing, but I don't know. I don't know how long you can keep these things going for, really. It's like fucking Star Wars, really. I watched that last Star Wars movie and just kind of like, and I watched that last Avengers one, which I started watching it and I was like, is this a third movie? That's a third one, right? No, I was like, it's a fourth? And I had to go back and go, oh, I've seen the third. No, I don't remember any of it. It's just too much. It's just, you know, I'm not going to get on that. I know my co-host wouldn't like me to start bashing superhero films, you know. But this is like the Whataverse. It's when you put universe to the franchise and you start branching out into different things. It's cool. The idea of The Nun's kind of cool. It's all right. It's okay. If around Halloween you want to put a creepy movie on for your buddy who doesn't like horror movies, you could probably put this on and say, you know, it's kind of mainstream at the same time, like The Conjuring movies. It's all right. Let's get to number 14. Only two left now for this patron from me, and then we get to the next one's last and the next episode. Number 14, Shaun of the Dead. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about this because we're doing this for our 100th episode, and this is why I watched it. Shaun of the Dead's a great film. I love the film. Every time I watch it, I still, even for this, got some more new gags I hadn't heard before, which I'm totally digging. So that's kind of cool. I reckon just wait until me and Dan get into our Simon Pegg and Nick Frost mode and do it. I know that quite a few people have said they'd like to hear us doing it, because there is this comparison with us guys and those guys. It's just kind of the bro thing going on, and we're both into the same shit, you know. So it works quite well in that sense, that we're doing it for 100th with Hot Fuzz. And I might watch that third one as well, the stupid one with robots. It's like, why robots from the future? So stupid. But anyway, listen to our 100th episode to get into that. Now, my last one for today, dear ladies, dear gentlemen, dear non-binary people, I did for number 15, Werewolf of London, a sequel to the original Universal London films. Obviously the Wolfman, you know, black and white from back in the day. Or say black in the day. Bad joke. Werewolf of London. What I wanted was more foggy streets of London with a werewolf running around. This one is a werewolf, fully clothed. He has like a normal hat. He even wears a hat in it. The effects on that aren't too bad, and I didn't mind the lead guy who is the werewolf. He actually kind of, his voice kind of reminded me of the main dude in Frankenstein. That voice, I can't remember his name. Do forgive me. But yeah, Werewolf of London. Would be the third, I think, after the Wolfman. I can't think what is the second, but I know it's the third. It's okay. I think it's a third. It could be a second, in fact. Again, see? My horror knowledge without IMDb in front of me. I didn't really check. It's all right movie. It's okay. It's with those old Universal movies, they're only just over an hour long. So you could bang out a few of them. You could bang out all the classics in like 4 or 5 hours, really, if you want to. No, say 6 hours. It's an all right movie. It's okay. It's going to stay in my collection because it's... I kind of dig the whole old school black and white wolf movie. Never been a massive Frankenstein fan. Werewolves, I dig. And you don't get enough werewolf films. Jamie as you know, Jamie, the lovely Jamie, podcast extraordinaire. She is always saying, like, you know, there's not enough werewolf films. And she's right, there is not enough werewolf films out there. I want to venture into that one day myself, actually, and try and do it. But, like, how do you do it? You know, how do you go with it? But then again, this is a whole massive debate. Maybe one day a Patreon episode, I could just go off on one, talk about werewolf films or just werewolves in general. We have done it before. We have touched upon werewolf films. But where do you take it now, you know? Anyway, it can be done. But anyway, that is, dudes, that is my first 15 of the October's 31. I love the fact all of you lot are really involved this year. A lot of you are so much more than normal. Fucking bang on. Good work, guys. And it's great you're posting it all up. We're having a lot of conversations back and forwards with people saying, what are you watching? It's really cool. It's a really nice little community we've got going on. And everybody's very positive and polite, and no one disses anyone or anything like that. So it's really cool. So keep up with that, guys, and give yourselves a little pat on the back if you're doing all right. You know, where am I at now? I've done 16. So, like, it's only, like, I don't know, the 13th. So I'm ahead of myself. I'm quite happy with that. I'm going to bang out another one tonight, and I'll quite enjoy it, in fact, you know. Leading up to it, a couple of weeks before we got into October, I was like, I can't watch any horror. I'm just going to hold it back, because I was just watching other stuff, like other genres and stuff. But yeah. There you go, guys. That is today my patron, and I'm gonna hand over to my lovely bearded brother from another mother, Daniel Bone. Dan, where are you? Dan.
Hello. Sorry, thanks, Gav. Yep, thank you. Hi, welcome to Dan's Dungeon again. It's not as dingy this time because it's a special time of year, as Gav has mentioned, it's Halloween. So it's almost like Christmas for us horror fans. And for you special patrons, we're giving you a little glimpse into the crazy films and movies that we've been watching, or the vast amount, I should say, over the last few days. So we're going to whiz through today within the dungeon all of the not all of the movies, because I've watched quite a few, but a good half of the films I've watched so far as we head towards October 31st, All Hallows Eve. Don't know why I said it like that, but I did. I was going to go into the song from Halloween 3, Season of the Witch then, but I won't do that because it is an earworm. And as much as we all love that song, nobody needs that in their head all the time. Silver Shamrock. Okay, here we go. This is what I have been watching. Mainly within the dungeon. Sometimes I might venture out, but mainly within. So I started off the month with the classic 1985 vampire comedy horror Fright Night, as they always say, from 1985. Fantastic film. What more can I say about this that hasn't already been said? We've certainly covered it in our show. You all know it, I'm sure. Tom Holland directs. It's got some great vampires in it, some great visual effects. It's up there with Lost Boys for me, with your kind of your 80s vampire movies. I would also throw Vamp and Fright Night Part 2 into that. But Fright Night, 1985, what a great way for me to start my Halloween watch-a-thon. After that, went slightly downhill, but had fun nonetheless with a 1988 straight-to-video film called Hacko Lantern. That's right, I said that correctly. Hacko Lantern. It is got nobody really of consequence within it, and it's not even that great a film. It's kind of a wannabe Halloween, if you will. Guy going around sort of killing people, but also mainly with a pitchfork, but also there's kind of a blood Satanist cult linked to somebody's grandfather. It's not too bad. The synopsis is a kindly old grandfather is actually the leader of a murderous satanic cult which sacrifices its victims on Halloween. If you want to check it out, I think it was on YouTube. Might be worth doing. It's certainly a lot of fun, and to be honest with you, you know I love my shitty films, my lower budget films. It is a fun way to unwind, especially over the Halloween period. I like to watch things I haven't seen before. This one was recommended to me by a fellow podcaster, so I thought, you know what, let's check it out. So that was Hacko Lantern. Then we stepped it up a notch, guys, because for my third film in my Halloween watch-a-thon, I went to a sequel. This sequel is called Two Lava, Two Lantula! Exclamation mark. That's right, Two Lava, Two Lantula. It's a sequel to Lava Lantula, starring Steve Guttenberg, the Goot, the Berg. It's fun, it's hilarious. It's more of the same. The first movie was about CGI vampires. It wasn't about that. It's about CGI tarantulas who could spit lava and fire because they come out of a volcano sort of thing. It doesn't really make sense. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Steve Guttenberg. He's also got a couple of the other cast members from the Police Academy movie in it, as does this sequel, Two Lava, Two Lantula. And this time they go on a bit more of a road trip. There's more CGI. There's a fantastic moment towards the end where they realise there's a giant lava lantula, which Steve Guttenberg says is the... He says it's the Gorgon Lantula or something. I can't remember what he calls it now. It's the Gigantula, I think it is. The Lava Gigantula. I don't know. Only Steve Guttenberg could deliver that, and I can't. But it's a lot of fun. If you haven't seen those movies, you know, you get a lot of these sort of Sharknado sort of films. It's that kind of vein, really. But it's got Steve Guttenberg in it, which sells it to me every time. Moving away from the Goot, because I've talked about him a lot. So I went on to my fourth watch, which was another sequel in a series that I've been revisiting recently. I started watching Slumber Party Massacre series. There's three of these. So I watched one and two a while back, and then I'd forgotten that I hadn't seen the third one. And I've never actually seen the third one, so I watched that. That was from 1990. Jackie Cassidy and her friends are stalked by a serial killer whilst having a slumber party. Pretty much the synopsis for all three of these. The first one was definitely the best one, and they gradually get slightly worse each time, but there's definitely a lot of fun to be had. It's kind of like that blueprint of slasher girls running around in 90s and, you know, negligee, but also having pillow fights while some guy takes them all out one by one. It's all right. I can't recommend it. I can't not recommend it. Slumber Party Massacre 3. That was the next one I watched. Moving forward, what did I watch next? Dear God, this next one might be the worst one on my list so far, and that is saying something, guys. So there was a movie that I'd read about years ago, and it's called American Prey, P-R-E-Y. It looked like a werewolf movie. Couldn't find it. And then eventually I realised that it changed its name to American Beast. And I gave this 1 out of 10. This is probably one of the worst produced films I've ever actually rented. So I paid like about £2.50 to rent this on Amazon Prime. Because I was like, oh, it's on my list. I really need to see it. It's a werewolf movie. It's not really a werewolf movie. And it's incredibly badly acted. In fact, some of the worst acting I've seen, again, in a film that I've rented. Really can't recommend it in any way. The synopsis goes, after finding an old storage locker filled with his family's history, James Erickson begins a journey to discover the truth behind a mysterious piece of land in the small town of Solitude. And that's another reason it's hard to find. It's because it's also known as Solitude. I really wouldn't recommend you seek this one out, guys. It's really not very good. I'm going to move away from it. It was fucking terrible. So I needed to pick up the pace after this. I needed something fun. I needed something that, you know, I could rely on. Well, who's more reliable than your friend till the end, Chucky? No, I'm not talking about the original Chucky's or even the remake. I'm talking about some of the later sequels. So I wanted to revisit Curse of Chucky, having remembered it to be quite a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun, actually. That was from 2013. After her mother's mysterious death, Nika begins to suspect that the talking red-headed doll her visiting niece has been playing with may be the key to recent bloodshed and chaos. It's a different turn for the Child's Play franchise. It's more like, plays out more like a mystery, elements of giallo, I would almost say, within it. Now, it's not as good as I'm making out. I mean, those elements there make this out to be an awesome film. It's not quite there, but it is still a lot of fun. For me, the first Child's Play movie and probably the first two or three are the best. I was kind of a fan of that remake. But yeah, I wanted to check out Curse of Chucky. At some point, I'm going to get around to watching Cult of Chucky, which I've never seen. Which came out later than that. But yeah, Curse of Chucky 2013. So although that was fun and I had a lot of fun with it, still needed some comfort food, as it were. Well, there's only one movie that I like to go to when I need a bit of comfort food, and that's 1989's The Burbs. Again, what more can I say about this film that hasn't already been said? You've got Tom Hanks, Bruce Dern, Carrie Fisher, Corey Feldman, Pizza Dude. It's directed by Joe Dante, and it is quite possibly the greatest horror comedy of all time that a family can watch. It's up there with Ghostbusters and other ones which I can't think of right now. The Burbs, it's awesome. It's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome. And if you haven't seen it, you really should rectify that immediately, especially at this time of year. I love everything about this film, and we've covered it extensively on our show, but I'm happy to always talk about The Burbs, and I'm more happy to always watch about it. Always happy to watch it. I've probably seen it in 2020 alone. This is probably the third or fourth time I've watched it now. That's how much I love it. Then it was time for me to revisit a movie that I'd never seen, but again, I'd read about and heard people discuss on podcasts. So this was my eighth film in my Halloween horror-thon. So I watched The Pit. It's called The Pit from 1981. Here's the synopsis. A solitary and strange preteen boy wreaks havoc and revenge on his harassers when he makes a disturbing discovery in the depths of a forest. So again, no one really famous in this. It's not directed by anybody that famous. It's a silly movie. I think it was, again, on YouTube if you want to check it out. But again, I had such a lot of fun with this. It really reminded me of The Gate, for anyone that's seen the Stephen Dorff movie The Gate from the 80s. It's essentially about a boy who's a real loner, a real outcast, and you kind of feel a bit sorry for him. He discovers a pit, hence the title, in a forest near the back of his house. And this pit has these strange creatures in it, which he says are called troglodytes. And they're little, they basically look like Ewoks. And this movie came out before Return of the Jedi. In fact, there's a rumor that George Lucas watched the pit and based the Ewoks look on the creatures in this. I 110% fucking doubt that. But either way, the pit, really good fun. This kid, you do feel sorry for him. And then he realizes that he can shove people, bullies, whoever it might be, into this pit of troglodytes who will eat them. They're cannibals or whatever they are. They eat humans. And silly fun. There's a great scene where an old lady gets shoved in there in a wheelchair. The bullies all go flying down in there as well. The kid takes a bit of a turn because there's a weird bit with the teddy bear, which you don't know whether or not it's telling him to do it. I don't know if the kid's got a split personality, but he's like some 12-year-old adolescent child. And there's a scene where he makes his babysitter wash him in the bath, and it's very uncomfortable. It would be more uncomfortable if it was her that was sort of making herself wash him, but he's like, can you wash my back? Can you do this? Oh, you don't need to look. It's all below the suds. It's really strange. I had a lot of fun with it, though. I've got to say, The Pit from 1981. It's silly and it's fun. And we like silly fun at Halloween, don't we? What did I watch after that? Well, after that, I watched a John Carpenter movie. Prince of Darkness from 1987. I watched this because I was on RJ McCready's podcast. Where we covered this. He does a bite-sized cinema podcast. Shout out to him. He's also one of our patrons. And I covered this with Ricky Morgan and RJ. And we talked so much about religion and John Carpenter and the just everything about this film that is fantastic, really. And actually, we all came to the conclusion that it's not really a film built for teenagers, that usual audience, that horror audience. This is one that we all watched this particularly at a similar age. Didn't really hit home the first time, but as you get older and you realise the creepy elements around it, the religious elements around it, there is a lot. It's just a great film. It's a really great film. 1987. Here's the synopsis. A research team finds a mysterious cylinder in a deserted church. If opened, it could mean the end of the world. It's got Donald Pleasance in it. It's got quite a lot of the cast from Big Trouble in Little China. It's obviously John Carpenter, so that's the sort of the crossover there. It's just a really great movie about a bunch of scientists who have discovered a green vat, like a cylinder full of green liquid that they think might contain the devil or pure evil or something. It's basically a remake of the Quatermass experiment, and it's great. That's Prince of Darkness. We've covered that on the podcast on Wanted Hill as well. So it's awesome. If you haven't seen that, you should really check it out. It's a John Carpenter one. It's not really very often spoken about, John Carpenter film, but a very good one nonetheless. So what was next? Sorry, I was just having a sip of the old vino there. That's what we do in the dungeon. So after this, it was another film I'd been recommended. It's quite a new one. It's 2018. It's called The Barge People. Bit misleading. It kind of leads you to think you're watching some kind of Creature from the Black Lagoon type film. One of the reasons I wanted to watch this is because it was filmed in and around my hometown of Bristol here in the UK. And they do mention Bristol a couple of times during the film. Here's the synopsis from this 2018 movie. Set on the canals amid the glorious British countryside, two sisters and their boyfriends head off for a relaxing weekend away on a barge. Unaware of the flesh-eating fish mutants lurking in the water, ready and waiting to feed. So you kind of got this British humour, local accents, which I sort of very much relate to. They're on this barge. There's some good humour in there. It's good fun. They bump into a bunch of other people who live on a barge who they rub up the wrong way, basically by accidentally crashing their barge into these baddie guys' barge. And it starts a bit back and forth. They sort of chase them up and down the canals. then they sort of fall into this sort of mutant fish people. I described it to somebody as elements of Wrong Turn in there. It's kind of got that sort of stuff going on. They're basically inbred fish mutants. You know, what you're going to get, inbred fish mutants, that's pretty much what you need really for a description. It's fun. It was slight, again, I recommended it to somebody who asked me. It was just above average. A lot of fun. Some funny jokes. A lot of British humour in there. But it's good. Good one. After that, my 11th watch, as we're tearing through these films, I watched The Innkeepers, directed by Ty West. A film that it's one of those ones I really wanted to love. I've seen it once before and I really didn't get the hype. I really didn't. Similar to, what's the other movie that I didn't like? I'll think of it in a minute. But there's, now and again, a movie comes around and you think, Hereditary, that's it. I didn't like that very much first time around. Then I watched it again and I was like, this is really good, like really good. Same with The Innkeepers. I didn't like it very much the first time around. Didn't really get the hype. Watched it the second time around. Maybe I was just in a better mood for it. It was a bit more late at night. I've sort of sat there with the blanket over me and the candle and the lights out. It's just a really fun, creepy, silly story. Here's the synopsis from this 2011 film if you've not seen it, The Innkeepers. During the final days at the Yankee Peddler Inn, that's the name of the hotel, two employees, determined to reveal the hotel's haunted past, begin to experience disturbing events as old guests check in for a stay. Now, for me, this film starts really well. It's got great chemistry between the two main characters. It's really funny, really well-written stuff, really sharp script. I just kind of, similar to the first time I watched it, I lost interest a little bit in the third and final act. But I did like it a lot more this time around. And what I think I will probably do is go back and revisit this again a third time at some point in a year or two. Because I it's probably going to, for me, this is more of a grower rather than a shower. I made a dick joke. Yes, this is, it's all right. The Innkeepers, 2011. It's not too bad. I went old school from the 12th one. I went all the way back to 1933 for a James Whale classic starring Claude Rains. This is The Invisible Man, the H.G. Wells Invisible Man. It's fucking, I mean, this film's brilliant. And I absolutely love the concept of Invisible Man, invisibility. I like most films about invisible people. That's a sentence I didn't think I'd be saying out loud this evening. I like most films about invisible people. Particularly, I really like Hollow Man. I would like to cover that on our main show at some point. I love the idea of, you know, the madness that and the power that comes with it that will drive these people insane. And that's certainly what you see within this film. But also what I love about this film, and I must have seen this at such a very young age, because it's 1933, you know, but the effects are simply wonderful. You know, from a bicycle riding down the street with an invisible man on it, you know, you can work out how they did these things, to shirts walking around with nobody in them, you know, the unraveling of bandages to show nothing underneath. It's very scary and disturbing. And it gets a little bit like with Hollow Man got very rapey. This certainly sort of heads down that route, but it was the 30s, so they didn't really, you know, they didn't push the boundaries, which is good. We like that more innocent time, if you will. So that was The Invisible Man. Then, talking of rapey, I'm sorry, then after that I watched a film which Gav, you bloody bastard, you recommended this one to me, from 1982, and this was The Entity. Quite a notorious film, it turns out. I've never seen or heard of it until Gav recommended it to me. Here's the brief synopsis. A woman is tormented and sexually molested by an invisible demon. So the synopsis really, and this is apparently based on a true story, but the synopsis really is, we start quite soon into the movie, within only a few minutes, we witness a woman apparently held down by two invisible ghosts and raped by a third. This happens several times throughout the film, sometimes in front of her children, sometimes in front of other people. no one seems to believe her, and then there's kind of a midway turning point where there's witnesses, they do start to believe her. It's not a kind of subject matter that is for everybody, you know. I personally don't like it. Obviously rape happens and it's a fucking terrible thing. I don't like seeing it in film. I try to avoid it when I can. It's one of the very few things I can't always stomach. Because it's invisible ghosts. You don't see the rapist. You only see the rapey, if that's the, or the raped, I guess is the right term. Sorry, I hate that word even. I'm going to stop using it now. But yeah, the entity, it's definitely a conversation starter. It's got some fantastic effects in it where you can actually see almost like, and again, moving on from the Invisible Man, which I've just talked about, you almost see invisible hands on people's skin. It's really interesting. Hard to believe it's based on a true story, but apparently so it was. But that was The Entity from 1982. Let's move on from that one, guys. Bit awkward. After that, I watched a film called Doom Watch. And this was my 14th watch. Doom Watch. Luckily, Doom Watch was no Watch of Doom, because I've seen this one quite a few times. It's from 1972. Here's the synopsis. The waters surrounding an island become contaminated by chemical dumping, and people who eat the fish caught in the waters become deformed and violent. So again, I talked about mutated fish people a bit earlier on. It's not quite the same as this, but there's this island off the coast of England. It's a British film, and the people on there, they call it the madness or the ugly. Ooh, got a bit ugly. And it's because their features sort of become quite caveman-ish when they eat these contaminated fish. There's a real detective mystery element to it as well. This shows up quite a lot on the UK horror channel. I'd highly recommend it from 1972, Doomwatch. I've watched it a bunch of times in the last couple of years. It's just a fun movie. Almost like a Hammer horror, but not. So there we go. Moving on then, guys. So what did I watch for my 15th movie? It was a found footage film called The Blackwater Vampire from 2014. One I have heard quite often mentioned. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for bad reasons. Here's the synopsis. It's 2014. A documentary crew, a film crew, investigates a series of brutal killings known as the Blackwater Murders. As they delve deeper into the story, they stumble upon a horrifying secret, one that they may not survive. Now, this film, I shouldn't like this film. It's basically a carbon copy of The Blair Witch Project. You know, even Blackwater Vampire, Blair Witch Project, there's a similarity in the wording. Basically, take the witch out of the Blair Witch Project, replace it with a creepy vampire that shows up here and there. There's exact copy for copy by copy by copy events. There's a scene where she talks to the camera as she's crying and apologizing. There's a scene within the tent where something's trying to get into the tent. There's a bunch of scenes. There's a scene where they go around in circles. They realize they've been going around in the same circle all day. It shouldn't work. I should hate it. It's like, wow, you guys have just straight up copied probably the greatest found footage movie of all, horror movie of all time, one of the best horror films of all time. But I can recommend The Blackwater Vampire. I rented it off Prime. It's definitely worth a couple of pounds or dollars to rent. Don't expect it to break ground, because Blair Witch did that. However, it is a slightly new take on it, and it has that cheap vibe to it that, you know, you can feel there's a lot of love in it. And actually, the vampire itself, when it does show up, is quite creepy. I won't spoil it, but when you do see it from time to time, which actually is one of the very few things I like, that I like more about this film than I do The Blair Witch. You never really got to see The Witch, but I guess that's what makes Blair Witch Project work. The curious mind of myself wants to see The Witch. But in this, you get to see the vampire. But I quite like that, and it is quite well done when you see it. And actually, there is one or two very good scenes of gore, which again, you didn't really get in Blair Witch. So, Blackwater Vampire 2014. Highly recommend that one. Well, I kept it pretty vampiric, I was going to say, guys. Sorry about that. Do apologise. Let's just say I kept it along the tone of vampires, because after that, Well, I did a triple bill this night. So I did Blackwater Vampire. Then after that, I thought, I watched a John Carpenter movie the other day. I'm going to rewatch Vampires from 1998. Yeah, Vampires, John Carpenter. Should be great, right? If you've not seen it, it should be awesome. Here's the synopsis. Recovering from an ambush that killed his entire team, a vengeful vampire slayer, played by James Woods, must retrieve an ancient Catholic relic that, should it be acquired by vampires, will allow them to walk in sunlight. Always for me, seen this probably half a dozen times now, always starts off really well, really promising, quickly turns into a shower of shit. I know a lot of people have a lot of fun with this. I mean, you guys might really enjoy this. I mean, it sits at a 3 out of 10 for me, so it's not like a big steaming turd, but there's so much about it that doesn't quite work. I don't really like James Wood's character in this. I find him really obnoxious, and I know he's supposed to be, but I find him really, really obnoxious. I find this film to be a very weak version of From Dusk Till Dawn with elements of Blade, but again, weak elements of Blade. I just think John Carpenter was on his sort of, just can't be bothered really at this point. I know he's got his opinions about directing and where his career is headed, and you can feel that it just didn't hit home. It's not one of his, it didn't feel original, I guess is what I'm saying. So that was Vampires from 1998. We'll stick in with Vampires. I then went all the way to 2020 with a new Netflix movie called Vampires vs. the Bronx. And I had a ton of fun with this movie. Synopsis goes, a group of young friends from the Bronx fight to save their neighborhood from gentrification and vampires. And it's what it says on the tin, really. Bunch of kids in the Bronx hanging out, start to realize it's basically Friday night. They start to realize some creepy looking dudes turning up. They're buying up all the property in the area, turning it into sort of art galleries. Turns out they're all vampires, guys. Spoiler alert. It's got some very good gore in it. It's got some real fun nods to the genre. We talk about Nosferatu. There's some Stephen King references. They even watch Blade at one point on the TV to get some ideas about how to kill vamps. Really good fun. Sits nicely, for those of you that have got older children, I'd say. This sits very nicely between, almost like a gateway to horror, or for kids that are into their horror, but you don't want them to see anything too horrific, because I feel like this straddles that line really nicely. So that was 2020's The Vampires versus the Bronx. For my 18th watch, I watched just an episode of The Walking Dead, Season 10. I watched this Season 10 finale. I'll just talk about The Walking Dead briefly. It's a show that I really loved when it started. I'm probably going to echo everything that you guys who watch the show are thinking. So here we go. I really enjoyed it when it first started. Wow, a show about zombies. This is amazing. There's not really much zombie stuff out there at the moment. 10 years later, I'm still watching it. There's a ton of zombie stuff. And in fact, zombie pop culture has kind of come and gone. There was a time when everyone was all over it. It was everywhere. Shaun of the Dead, this, that, and the other. It's kind of died off again now. Oh, pardon the pun. Or undied off, shall we say. So The Walking Dead is a bit of a love-hate relationship with me. Around about season 4 or 5, it started dragging its heels. I realised at that point that the reason it's called The Walking Dead is because the humans in it are The Walking Dead. Because there's less and less and less zombies, as you would expect after 10 years after a zombie apocalypse. But they managed to hook me back in now and again. There's been a few absolutely dire seasons in the last sort of 5. But season 10 has kept me interested, especially when I found out that season 11 will be the final season. There was a delay because of COVID and the pandemic, so we didn't get to watch the season finale, which should have been earlier this year. So that didn't get released. So this season finale for season 10 didn't get released until early October this year. Hence me watching it. It was an hour special. It had some good stuff in it, some good kills in it. Daryl was cool with some knives and a couple of little good looking scenes. That's The Walking Dead, you know. I will watch it until it's finished, because I've come this fucking far now. It's the same with Fear the Walking Dead. I really enjoyed the first few seasons of that. I feel like as we head into season 6 of that, it's all right. There's a new show called Beyond the World of the Walking Dead, or Beyond the Walking Dead or something, which seemed to be aimed squarely at sort of 12-year-olds. Really doesn't appeal to me in any way. And unless somebody tells me it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, the greatest thing since Quantum Leap, if you will, then I'll watch it. But I have no interest in watching it, and I don't have the time, quite frankly. Though I will probably watch the rumored Carol and Daryl spin-off, which is like 5 episodes mini show that they're doing. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm probably going to watch all of it, for fuck's sake. So that was The Walking Dead, sorry, season 10 finale. For my 19th watch, I then watched... I just might wanted to go back and watch one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I went back to an episode which I've discussed briefly, I think, on the show, on this show, in fact, this bonus show. It's one of my favourite episodes, and it's called The Body. It's from season 5. I actually watched episode 15 and 16. Episode 16 is The Body. I needed a bit of light first, so episode 15 is a little bit funnier. And then episode 16 is The Body. It's obviously the episode where Buffy's mother, she dies at the very beginning of that episode, or the very end of the previous episode. And the whole episode is about Buffy dealing with the sudden, you know, and very immediate death of her mother, and those moments right after losing someone so close to you, and how you know, what it's like, really. And obviously, I'm not going to harp on about it, but obviously I went through this myself last year, and yeah, I just wanted to go back for my own sort of self and go back and watch this movie. Buffy is one of my favourite shows of all time, as I've discussed. And it wasn't that hard a watch, actually. It was a little bit... It was nice to see that some of those feelings I could relate to, and... Yeah, I watched it in a whole new light. And I think that does happen, you know, whether you have kids or you lose somebody. Different things in your life can affect the way you view a film or a TV show or something. So that was my 20th watch. Oh, sorry, my 19th watch, I believe. My 20th watch was another TV show. I managed to binge watch American Horror Story. And that was season 8. Which was the one about the underground. Sorry, guys, I've forgotten the name of it now. It's about the old... it's called Apocalypse, isn't it? Yeah, Apocalypse. Season 8. Didn't like it. Didn't like it very much. Now, the thing with American Horror Story is it's trash. We all know that. It's designed to be very easy to watch, trashy TV. Aimed at horror fans. There's... certain seasons that I just haven't enjoyed. There's certain seasons I've fucking loved. It's quite hit or miss for me, this show, but I'll always come back to it. Particularly interested to go and watch the newest season, which is all set in the 80s, season 9. Looks really fun, actually, and I might even be able to check that out during these 31 Days of Madness. But season 8, yeah, I'm not going to say don't watch it, especially if you're a completist. It ties into 2 of the other seasons. It ties into Coven, and it ties into the Murder House. What do they call the first one? House of Murder? I don't remember what you call it now. The very first season, and it also ties into Coven. It was all right. That's what I can say, really. Had some great cameos in it. I just kind of didn't gel with me, like some of the seasons have. So that was that. And that was my first 20 watches, probably more than that if you include every episode of American Horror Story, but we'll say 20 for now, I'll count that as one, of my 31 Days of Halloween. So thank you for joining me on that. As you can probably guess, for our next Patreon bonus episode, I'll be covering more of this shit, because I fucking love Halloween, and I fucking love horror films, so I will be watching as many horror films or TV shows, or listening to horror podcasts, or watching cartoons about horror, Scooby-Doo, or listening to soundtracks from horror movies, or listening to the Ghostbusters soundtrack, or watching the Ghostbusters cartoon, or doing anything I can that's horror related, because it's October and that's awesome, and that's Halloween on the 31st, isn't it? Yeah it is. Well, that's that from the dungeon this time around, so thanks, guys. Hope you enjoyed that. thanks for being our patrons. You are fucking awesome, each and every one of you, for being our patrons. We love that. We love you supporting us. It means we can keep this show ticking along nicely. Not just the main show, but this little mini secret show that we don't tell anybody else about. It's just for you guys and me and Gav as well. So there we go, guys. All right, well, you guys take it easy and enjoy your October. Stay spooky. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the podcast on Haunted Hill. We will be back again real soon.